tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 10th of April 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, we've reached the middle of the week and it's Wednesday. That means that we have Carolyn Yeager with us as our special guest today from carolynyeager.net. Carolyn, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing as well as can be expected, Sven, and interested to talk about this subject matter that we're going to start with.
Definitely, definitely. We've got a positive news story near the end to do with Salvini. But first off, I think you wanted to talk about this piece of artwork that Angela Merkel has removed from her office. I'm really quite surprised at that because it looks very degenerate to me. It looks like the sort of artwork that she would love. But apparently she's removing it. So what's the story with this?
Well, you know, that's good because it's not about whether they know anything about artwork or whether they really care about what's good and what isn't good. But, you know, for her, it's political. And they bring art under the political banner, and which is what this story shows us so well. And so, you know, it brought this phrase to mind, the trappings of authority, because, you know, people, well, it wasn't just this story, but things I've been thinking about this week, the trappings of authority, that people are under the sway of authority to such an extent. I mean, we all are in a lot of ways because we don't know everything, and we know we don't know everything, and some people know even less. And so they are easily impressed by authority or the appearance of authority. And when you say, well, this, and, you know, the people who have important titles or names, or if it's government related, you know, you can walk into a impressive government building and just be right away in kind of awed, you know, by the power of it all. It gives you that impression. That's purposeful. And so, you know, we fall under their opinions and what they want us to believe. And it's hard when people are believing in something if you tell them, well, you know, you're being lied to, or this is not true, or this isn't. And they get angry. And I've had some people get angry at me this past week because all I've done was say, you know, that's wrong. And, you know, I think, how about this? And they get all upset because they're so invested in what they're, you know, in what they believe. And they think they've really done their homework and brought themselves to this belief system. And they don't want to even question it. So anyway, this morning, I saw this story on Deutsche Welle. I always check them out every morning, and it's about the artist Emil Nolde, who is a German artist of the early 20th century, when the abstract expressionism was getting started. And these weren't exact, these paintings they were doing, the Bridge group, they call themselves, weren't abstract, but they were very abstracted. And in this article, if people wanted to go there, it's titled Why Merkel Had an Expressionist Work Removed from the Chancellery at dw.com, so you could find it. But, you know, some of the paintings, the one that's there in the top picture is just a seascape, so it's not offensive at all. But there's a couple others down below that are very, you can understand why Adolf Hitler didn't like them, you know.
These,
so this Emil Nolde was an artist at that time, and yet it turns out that he considered himself a National Socialist, which is most of them who painted that way didn't. And they're very distorted and really ugly, if you want to consider it that way. They're ugly, but they're considered great art. I grew up being an artist and going along with everything that the art world said. And, if they said this was good, I didn't question it. I just looked to find out what was good about it, try to adjust my thinking, adjust my opinion and my view to that it would be good, because I just didn't. They were in all the museums and everything, and I was so awed by art. And I thought, well, this is, I had to be in the know and so on. So, but I look at these now today, and I say, I was trying to look at this one called The Holy Night from 1912. Just think, it was painted in 1912, and it's really freakish. I mean, in every way, it's freakish. And turns you off, and is repulsive, and goofy, and ghoulish, kind of. And it's supposed to be the Holy Family, Mary and Joseph, and this Christ child who's just a little pinkish blob. And I look at it and I say, now, Carolyn, if you get just divorce yourself from all your thinking, and I was really into it. What do you think of this? Well, it's awful. And I don't know. I might be lacking in something, but I don't know how to look at it as now in a real way as being somehow, groundbreaking or brilliant or, doing new thing, taking art in a new direction or whatever, because it's so like a child, it's completely devoid of everything that you would expect in art. So
art should be beauty, shouldn't it? I mean, huh? Really, art should be beauty. It should reflect the beauty of life. But I was just wondering, though, you're saying that painting was painted about 1912. And do you think maybe that style of painting was almost like a premonition of the horrors that were to come when we had the war happening in 1918, as if it was sort of building up to that?
It was part of the whole revolutionary thinking, yes, that we need to break up, we need to break into and destroy what has been, And
so
it does go along with the Bolshevik idea, the communists, the Jewish revolution in Russia and so on. But it's not necessarily just, a part of that consciously. It was just all that was the movement that was going on in the world as a decision against the prevailing ways, which were a little stuffy, the royalty and the imperial families and all the money that they had and the power and the, there was just a revolutionary time in the world and change. So it was kind of like change for change's sake, and so these artists wanted to do something new and different. And it was some of it just you have to wonder why there's another one above The Sinner by this Nolde, painted in 1926. It's supposed to be Christ and a couple of disciples, I guess, and this person he was healing. And it's so primitive. It's so without any kind of grace whatsoever. It's so like purposefully ugly and grotesque that you, today I have to say, well, at that time I didn't even question it. I said, well, this is by him. He's famous. He knows what he's doing. It's in the museums. It's worth a lot of money. So, it's an important movement. It was just all about art history and look at, there's something here. So, really terrible.
I did a course in art history, and I can remember one of the ones that we were studying was a painter called Rothko, and it was the first time I'd heard of him, and it was just like straight lines and squares, and I really couldn't understand what was so fantastic about it. And all of his paintings looked you know, pretty much similar to the next one. They weren't actually of anything in particular, and this guy was made out to be this fantastic artist. And I think I found out eventually that the painter was Jewish, but there was certainly a big Jewish part to this, wasn't it? The Jews were promoting this. You would say that it tied in with the Bolshevik Revolution, so obviously they would have been promoting this as well. But I don't understand how people could fall for it. But I must have done when I did this course, because I didn't really question it. You must have done, as you say, you've
well, yeah, I know. I know how I reacted to all of this. I wanted to be an artist, and I wanted to be, you know, fit in with all the artists. Nobody questioned. When I was in school, you know, I thought some of my fellow students were really good painters, and they were everything was abstract expressionism at that time. If you did anything else, you were considered, you know, kind of dopey and dumb, and so you had to do that. And what I did was I was trying to do something during those very important years of my youth that I wasn't good at, and I didn't have any feeling for it. I didn't even want, but yet I wanted to be an artist, so that's what I was doing, and it was just a big waste for me. And I'm a little bit, it took me a long time to feel this way, but a little bit bitter now when I look back and I see what was done to me. You know, I mean, I can put it that way, because I was just young and open and intelligent and had high ideals and so on. And a lot of these years of my youth, I consider now that it wasn't me that wasted them. It was my gullibility, which Germans are well known for, but not only Germans. So, you know, my gullibility and for being rolled over by all this stuff because of my idealism and my desire to, you know, to do something really good with my life. And then I thought art was the highest thing I could think of.
And like you were saying at the beginning. Saying at the beginning with your authority, and you believe the authority. So you believe the authority that's telling you this is fantastic piece of art. This is, it's amazing, even though it's not. It's like the emperor of
If you want to be in the art world, you have to be promoted by the art world, and that's what the art world was saying. So it was you were kind of in a trap. There were people who did their own thing, and we used to say, well, you know, probably the great artists of the future are going to be. It's probably some guy right now who's sitting around painting roses, you know, which was something nobody would do. We would never, you know, be wanting to paint a still life with roses. That was done and finished and over with. And, you know, we were into the new age, where you had to do something different and be different. Well, it's true. The Jews were behind this. The Jews are always behind it, but a lot of other people, were involved too. And so here we have, I know people want to say Merkel is a Jew and everybody who they don't like is a Jew, but I don't think Merkel considers herself a Jew. I don't know. But that's not the point. I mean, there was this movement in Germany, and they went along with this. So now, following along with this story, two of this artist Nolde's paintings were in the chancellor's office. Now, they weren't these really offensive ones, but they show one of them is that seascape, which is just water and a wave and a sky, but it's in strange colors. So, and I don't know what the other one was, but they were lent out for a special art exhibition, and nobody questioned them all that time they were in the chancellor's office. There might be somebody in this government that switches these paintings around, you know, in the culture minister or something, and nobody thought anything about it. But since they've been in these special art exhibits and out, and now they say they probably won't go back up because they've just it's being talked about now, or not being just discovered, but people are becoming talking about it, that this Emil Nolde, even though he was a very expressionistic, what Hitler called degenerate artist, and was living and working during that time of the National in the 30s. In fact, he was famous by then. Since he was a national, since he's now connected with National Socialism, they don't want him. You know, they say, "Oh, we can't have him because it's all political." So it's not about art and good art, but about what's approved at the time. You know, what's acceptable, and of course, what became acceptable in the from after World War One, World War Two was this abstracted art and really shocking type of work that was had no relationship to the art of the past whatsoever. And so they say that this Nolde embraced National Socialism at the time, even though he was considered a degenerate artist. And so now there's a controversy about him. So now they can't have his paintings in the chancellery. And here's a couple of statements I think are really interesting. First is this Bernard Fulda, who's the co-curator of the Hamburger Bahnhof exhibition, which is where those paintings went, is still up. He's an expert on Nolde, supposedly. And a quote from him, he says, "A previously harmless painting no longer looks so harmless." I mean, that's the whole point. Once they associate this artist with National Socialism, that he accepted and even called himself one, even though Hitler didn't like him, that's now suddenly he's not harmless. He's dangerous. And this folder goes on to say that not a single painting by Nolde from 1933 that would have you thinking by looking at it on its own, or there is not a painting by him that you would think by looking at it, just by looking at it, that Nolde was visually working on solving the Jewish question here. But he had written this treatise, maybe in order to get in good with the National Socialists, but he had written a whole treatise about what to do about the Jews. You know, he was very anti-Jewish. Now it comes out. He was a powerful anti-Semite. So, oh my gosh, now what are we going to do with him? Because he's been in the high German pantheon of of painters, you know, who were appreciated because they were anti-Hitler. They, you know, most of them are.
Well, one thing that really struck me about that article is that they say that even though he was a Nazi, Hitler still exhibited his work as part of the degenerate art exhibition, as if to say, well, the National Socialists didn't have any integrity. Look how shocking that is. The National Socialists showed some integrity, and as if, you know, they should have left that piece of art out of the degenerate art because it was done by one of the National Socialists, which to me I think is quite insulting. It's as if, you know, it didn't really mean anything, the fact that they were against this degenerate art, and that you can just throw your principles out of the window out of nepotism. I mean, that may be the way that they do things today. That may be the way that they do things in Germany today, but that certainly wasn't the way to do things back then. You know, the National Socialists had integrity. So just that caption, I think, really, really summed up what they were trying to do there. You know, just trying to slur the National Socialists once again.
It's not about art. You know, that's what gets you. They pretend like it's about art. It's all a big money game, and, of course, political. So another person is this Christian Ring, who is another art critic or historian of some sort. And he made some comments. Of course, they asked him his opinion, and they were interesting too. He said that while the question is as to how to best consider the art is still open for discussion, it is not limited to paintings. And so he goes on, how do we deal with music that was created at the time of Hitler's regime, and with buildings from the National Socialist era. Do we question the democratic principles of contemporary artists? Well, that's a good question, see, because do we decide what an artist's politics are before you can decide on their art? Sometimes that comes up, and that question comes up, which shows the falseness of it all. But the thing is that they want to condemn music that Hitler liked, or that was done by musicians who worked under him and accepted the National Socialist regime as legitimate. And they also want to take down a lot of these buildings. And it is true that it is the Jewish groups who are usually behind the activism of that. There's a lot of buildings in Germany today that were put up or that were used by National Socialists, and they're still there. They take down all the everything that identifies them, and they're using them, and they don't want to get rid of them. And there's some Jews and groups that say, "Oh, we should tear all this down," because see, they're just so extreme. It's all political. And another thing about the Jews at that time, when they were during the time of that Hitler lived and was complaining about all that. You know, now I want to say that Adolf Hitler, as an artist, that of course they hate that the communists, that Hitler was an artist and was serious about it, and he really was, and he loved art. He wanted to be an artist. That's all he thought he wanted to be. It wasn't until World War I that he decided he had to go into politics. So, and then they want to point out that he wasn't a good artist. Well, it's not easy to make it in the art world. In the same way, I always loved art. I never wanted to be anything more than to be an artist. And yet the art world was such that I wanted to be in the art world. So, I didn't want to just be a little, commercial artist or something, which is my mistake, because that's what I was good at, that's what I could have been. But by wanting to do too much, I wasn't good at it. I wasn't able to do what was desired at that time. And so I was trying to do something I couldn't do. And the same with Hitler, he wasn't a great artist, and he probably couldn't have been, but he could have been a great architect, which is what he switched over to. They want to make out that he preferred inferior art to the revolutionary art that was going on at the time, which today is considered to be great art, and great groundbreaking art and so on.
It's just degenerate, though, isn't it? That the art today really is just degenerate.
And so Hitler was very he took art seriously for the good of Germany, because he thought this was, for the culture that he was promoting for the German nation, in line with its history and its historical precedents and so on. So he wasn't trying to control what people could look at in that sense. He wasn't trying to control what culture would be. He was trying to clean up culture and get rid of the Jewish distortion that was going on, which is what we have today. We still have all this distortion that took place in the art world, and the art world is still struggling to find a direction to go in that has any meaning, that anybody can relate to. It's just been destroyed.
They had this wonderful piece of art that was for sale in an auction. It was the latest craze in the art world, and it was a 3-year-old Chinese girl painting in New York, that was the height of the art world. But all the lofty ideals that they have of non-discrimination against people, that all goes out the window. If you're a National Socialist, we can't have your music, can't have your art, can't have your architecture, can't have anything. They can't even have the church bells that were struck and founded at that time with swastikas on. They even want to destroy the church bells that were built because they're Nazi church bells. And it's
That's right. That's the point here. The point is that that they've got brought this anti-Semite thing to such a pitch that it's and that it's evil, that it's wrong, that if anything has to do with the regime of Hitler, which was anti-Semitic, truthfully, it can't be allowed. And this one question I thought was very worth considering, Fulda asked, do you know how often the chancellor has gone to Bayreuth to listen to the wonderful music of the anti-Semite Richard Wagner? And we've been able to deal with that. So, they all go to Bayreuth. That's the town that's spelled like Beirut in English, where the Wagner, home is and where they have that, opera house there. And, annually there's a, they play his, they do a thing annually for his music. But that, you know, the Jews don't want to listen to Richard Wagner either, except there's some who do that. This is a question that we can't even talk about. We can talk about it here, but it's not fully discussed now. They brought it up here a little bit, but it won't go anywhere. You know, it won't. So we have to come out from under the trappings of authority and learn to think. But people are not smart enough. You know, they don't have the confidence, so they'd rather just, and I mean, you know, the majority of people, our people would rather just fit in and accept what the general, what they're reading and what they're picking up in all the newspapers, magazines, you know, in school and so on, what they're told and, we're not capable of knowing enough to think all these things through for ourselves.
Well, there's one person that does seem to be thinking for himself, and of course all the mainstream media and the Jews are against him, and that's Matteo Salvini, who we mentioned at the beginning, because there's another article today that we wanted to just fit into the
you
show.
You moved to the other
and that
article.
That was Salvini and this new supergroup that he's forming with the Front National, Alternative for Deutschland. I think he's trying to get Orban and the Fidesz party on board as well, and Poland's Law and Justice Party. And he's really got the European Union quite worried about this, because they could take a lot of seats, and what they really want to do is put a block on all the legislation that the European Commission wants to force on the rest of Europe. And if Brexit doesn't take place and Britain has to take part in the EU as well, then that's another seven Euro MPs that will join that group. So it's really imperative that all the far right parties join up with Salvini for this, because at the moment there's three different civic nationalist groups, and they should all get, if they could just get together, then they could really, really do something. And he seems like the man that, he's going to lead them. He seems to me like he has the character to do that. What do you think of Matteo Salvini, Carolyn? Just before we finish, we've got a few minutes left.
Well, of course I like him, but the news now, the latest is that Germany's Alternative for Deutschland party has joined Salvini in this new party group, and the Alternative for Deutschland has kept itself out from all these other European right-wing parties up to this point, but it's the European Parliament candidate for the AfD. He's probably the top guy in the AfD. He's gone over. He's the only one who's involved with the European Parliament elections, because he's their sole member of that European Parliament. And now he has said that he's joining in with Salvini into a new, they've got a new name for their party, and hope to get all the others to come into this one. And it's something like the European People's and Nations Party, which emphasizes European Alliance of Peoples and Nations, which emphasizes that they're individual nations and peoples with their own traditions and cultures, and they're joined together rather than this extreme United States of Europe idea, which they reject. So this makes me happy that because the AfD has stayed out up till now, and I think Germany's very important. So now you've got Mutin and you've got Salvini, and then they're going to be trying to get the others to come together in all this, and it'll be very strong. I think the AfD has been unwilling to join up with groups like Marine Le Pen in France, and even with the Austrian Freedom Party, they weren't. They didn't want to jump because they were concerned with. I think they were concerned with being seen as anti-Semitic. I'm not sure, but all these parties have gone way far away from anti-Semitism, which upsets some people. But they feel that they have to in order to get anywhere. However, I don't think, that they will, I think that they will remain being for their countries and their nationalism and their own peoples. I don't think that they will ever, they support Israel and they condemn anti-Semitism, but I don't think they're going to, allow themselves to be to cave in to Jewish demands because they're very concerned with their own cultures and so on. And so I don't think they're going to do that. So that's why I support them and wish them well, hope that they can get somewhere because they're definitely sticking with the populist label, which Jews hate.
Yeah. I think the name of the group, I think that's a great name for the group, of Peoples and Nations. If you look at the names of the other groups, they're sort of talking about democracy and things like that in the name, where it says Peoples and Nations. I mean, that's specific. It's ethno-nationalism. And, they can't, it's not feasible to talk about the Jews any longer in mainstream politics. They just wouldn't have got to the position that they are in now. I mean, it's amazing that the AfD have got to where they have got to, with all the obstacles that they've had to surmount, with the special intelligence forces wanting to investigate them, and of course in their mainstream media is like ours, and it's going to be calling Salvini far right, it's going to be calling Orban far right. They don't want to be seen as being a part of the far right. But as Salvini says, all these parties have got to put their differences aside because there are more important things to do. They've got to save Europe, really. Save Europe's traditions, save its cultures, and save its European people. And I think he's the man to do that. I think he's great. Anyway, thanks for coming on today, Carolyn. That's been a great discussion. I think listeners will enjoy that. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
Radio Aryan. At Radio Aryan. Dot.